You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Angelica is project coordinator of the Lutheran Foundation of Diaconi in Brazil, is that correct? And is a PhD candidate at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul, also in Brazil, I believe. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So I will present my paper is about the challenges about sustainability of social and solidarity economy. And I will focus on the interaction between popular economy, social movements, and public policies. And it will be mainly based on a case study about the Global Alliance of Waste Pickers and some other examples. Oh, let me just, can you just give the, yeah, thanks. So, I just put it here, a testimony. So that's of one of the waste pickers of Brazil. She said, "I never had the words to talk to anyone. I always worked with my head down, with shame. But after the training, I talk to the people, I make friends, I'm happy. My income has also increased. I'm earning 70% more than before, and it will become better, I'm sure about that." I just wanted to start with this testimony. Because I think when we talk about social and solidarity economy, we are talking about sustainable changes in the lives of the people who live in poverty and who are involved in this solidarity economy initiatives. So I think our focus is how can we guarantee that these sustainable, these solidarity initiatives are sustainable. And that these changes really, there are really changes of the people who work with them. And when my paper focused on the popular economy, on the popular economy, the interaction of popular economy and solidarity economy. So how can we increase the number of the people who participate in the solidarity economy, whereas it are still it are still groups, relatively small groups, or at least I will show that the solidarity economy is smaller than the popular economy. And I think it's interesting, how can we establish the connection and the links between the popular economy so that they will participate in the solidarity economy. And my paper will focus then on collective action, so that therefore it's important that there are social movements, that there are that they work together by collective action and coalitions of community groups, social movements, and NGOs, and that can establish public policies. Whereas for the public policies to really make a change, they should be compromised with social transformation. So that's what I will focus on. Here I will just give a very short, I won't take too much time, an overview. So I think in the 1700s and 60s there was a huge increasing urbanization and then also a growing informal urban sector. In the 80s, especially in Latin America, there was the rise of popular economy initiatives. And I think especially from the 90s, we start to speak about social and solidarity economy. First as a response to poverty and inequality. And I think that now we have some perspective that SSE might become a relevant social and an economic sector and a potential for transformational development. Let's see. Okay. I just put it here three different concepts who are all related. I won't go in it too much, whereas we have seen it already in other speakers have thought about it. So I will actually argue that we have the informal economy, the popular economy, which is mainly the people of the lower income classes, and which focuses mainly on subsistence and reproduction of life. And we have the social and solidarity economy, where we also focus on values as the central role of labor, collective ownership, the expanded reproduction of life, and community orientation. And of course, these three are related, as data show from the system of solidarity economy of in Brazil. They show that actually 1/3 of all solidarity economy enterprises are part of the informal economy. And when it comes to the urban enterprises, then about 2/3 are informal. So then we can see that they are related, they're not the same, but there is a relation between informal economy, popular economy, and solidarity economy. And then I think there is the question and the challenge for solidarity economy: how can we expand the solidarity economy, and what are the conditions and the context for a significant change in quality in the informal popular economy to converge to social and solidarity economy? Okay, here I have just one example that's based on research which was done in Chile. It was about associations of micro entrepreneurs, informal micro entrepreneurs. And although it were micro entrepreneurs, so mainly family enterprises, they established some forms of cooperation, actually, three different forms of cooperation. So they established first economic cooperation, especially to commercialize together. Some also bought the inputs together, and also the access to credit. But they also established some other forms of cooperation, social cooperation, whereas several of them founded a solidarity fund. And this solidarity fund had mainly the purpose to help the people, especially in cases of hardship, of illness, or other reasons. And some even established agreements for medical attendance. So they went behind the economic cooperation. And then some of them also established political cooperation, especially with the municipalities or the local or regional municipalities, for access to public policies, but especially also for legalization and access to markets and fairs, as well as with the NGOs, then mainly about training and assistance. So I think this example shows that even when it are informal or popular enterprises, they can establish cooperation. So they can approach our, the solidarity economy. Then in this example, all of them were related some way or another to non-governmental organizations. So then, of course, the scope is very limited. So then it's the question, how can we scale up this kind of experiences? Okay. In Brazil, there's now, in the state of Bahia, they have launched a program which they call Better Life, and that focuses mainly on the popular economy with the aim to include people living in poverty socially and productively, and the focus is on 120,000 families in urban areas and 280,000 families in rural areas. And they mainly focus on technical assistance, participatory feasibility studies, microcredits, but also try to stimulate collective action. The program, it's still, it started in 2011, so they're just starting it. But it shows at least that they can attend a bigger number. And I think one of the founding is that the sustainability of popular and solidarity economy initiatives supposes a process of development which not only promotes the economical side, but especially it promotes together with this economy fundamental rights. So also based on the rights to act in the community, but also the rights to access to education, access to health, and other social and other rights. Then I focus a bit on the collective action. So I think in the 90s there has been several studies of collective action, especially with natural resource management. And it shows that there are a diversity of institutional arrangements. But that trust is one of the main characters, and also that it has to fit to specific social and ecological settings. and it focuses on the importance for the recognition of the government. And I will enter into this point when I will show for the waste pickers that it's important, the recognition by the different levels of the government, so by the federal, the state, and the municipal government, for them to have access. Here I will show, just to focus a bit, the Brazilian context. So what's, when we talk about recycling in Brazil, I will just show some numbers. So the recycling generates a value of almost $2 billion. It avoids about 10 million tons of greenhouse gas emissions. If all materials would be recycled, would be 0.3% of GDP. So it shows that it's an important economic sector. At the same time, when we're talking about it, most of the waste pickers are informal waste pickers. So the estimate is that there are about 500,000 waste pickers in Brazil, and of these, 60,000 are organized. So there are about 1,100 organizations. So that means that a bit more than 10% of the waste pickers participates in social and solidarity economy initiatives. So that puts a huge challenge that how can we involve these other 500,000 or a bit less waste pickers also in the solidarity economy initiatives. So I will give some examples. I will start with Brazil, and then I will present other examples as well. So in Brazil in the 80s and the 90s, there were the first organizations were founded from waste pickers, especially in the capitals, in São Paulo, Belo Horizonte, Porto Alegre. Then in 2001, they formed a national movement. So they did a big congress where about 1,600 recyclers participated. And in that congress, they founded the national movement. And they also did some proposals. So one of the first proposals was the official recognition that the profession, that the collectors of recyclable material is a profession. And then they presented this to the government, and then in 2002, the profession was officially recognized by the federal government of Brazil. So that actually was one of the first results of collective actions, and which resulted in some kind of public policy. Then after this, in 2003 and 2005, there were two Latin American congresses where also collectors from Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay participated, and later on also Chile and Colombia. And that resulted in a Latin American network of waste pickers. And all these congresses, there they stated that it was important the interaction between the movements in a Latin American context. And the claims towards the government. So the main claims were the recognition of the waste collectors and their participation in waste management. But also social programs such as literacy and social housing. And then in 2008, there was a global, of a first world conference and a third Latin American conference in Colombia. With 700 participants from 34 countries from all the different continents, so from Africa, Asia, Europe, and Latin America, which resulted in a global alliance of waste pickers. And after this, several other national movements were formed, as for instance in Kenya and South Africa. And they also had a declaration where they committed to the work, to the inclusion, the social and economic inclusion of the waste pickers, to strengthen the organizations, to forward into the value chain, but also to reject incineration, whereas it is a, well, it's not only bad for the environment, but also it excludes the waste pickers. I will show then a bit that the interaction of the movements of waste collectors leads to innovative institutional arrangements. And these arrangements include informal waste pickers in the social waste management. Uh, One of the examples is from South Africa. Actually, in South Africa, they started to organize in 2009, one of the groups which works on a dump. It were two groups who merged together, and then after the union, the income had increased. But they're still facing the main challenge for recognition and participation in the municipal waste management system. Then in India, in Pune, the waste pickers started to organize in 1993. So the informal self-employed waste pickers organized into the union KKP. And then in 2007, they formed the cooperative with about 100 members. And in 2008, they signed a memorandum of understanding with the municipal government, especially regarding door-to-door collection of waste. And as a result, the members of the cooperative have more stable incomes. They also have meetings with the three stakeholders, so with the municipality, the cooperative, but also with neighborhood communities. So they also have a coalition together with the neighborhoods where they collect the waste, so where they deliver the service. They also put that one of the threats is the incineration of waste, because that would exclude collectors. Then another example is from Colombia, from Bogota. The first association was in 1990, the Association of Recyclers of Bogota. And then in 2004, in dialogue with the municipal government, this dialogue resulted in the Master Plan of Integrated Waste Management, which established new modalities of service delivery regarding waste, solid waste management, with the inclusion of the informal waste pickers. But still, the two systems continue to coexist. So there's the formal and the informal system. And then for the organized collectors, they have access to social security, to better working conditions, and to more stable earnings. Whereas the informal waste pickers don't have the same benefits. The cooperatives also try to advance in the production chain, but that's difficult because then they have to compete with the private sector and they don't have the same structure, the same investments to do that. So that should go accompanied by public policies who also invest in training and acquisition of equipment and infrastructure. Then in Brazil, in 2003, there was established a committee, Interministerial Committee of Social and Economic Inclusion of the Waste Pickers. In 2006, there was a decree who said that all the public institutions should designate their material to the collective organization of recyclers. In 2007, there was a law that exempts the organization from the tendering process. And then in 2010, after a participatory process, the National Solid Waste Policy was approved. And in this policy, it says that the cooperatives and associations are the main actors in the solid waste management. This is a law at the federal level, so that was approved. But then, of course, it's a big challenge. The waste policy is implemented by the at the municipality. So then we have the challenge, how can we implement this policy at the municipality level? So here I will just, this was just so one program the secretary, the national secretary of Solidarity Economy has several projects approved. So one of the projects is for capacity building of the informal waste pickers, and it has achieved 10,600 collectors in 90 states of Brazil. Mainly about training, and from the next example I will show rapidly that one of the, this is just an example for one of the cooperatives who participated. So before the project they had about 40 collectors, and then by the training they trained 200 collectors, informal waste collectors, and at the same time they signed a contract with the municipality. So then at the end they had 100 members, so actually 60 members who were informal waste pickers then participated in the solidarity economy initiatives. But then when there was a change of the government, then actually it was not sure if the contract would go on. So that showed that it's quite vulnerable, although there is a federal law and although there can be a local contract, it doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. And then they started to organize with other organizations, so also with the unions, with syndicates, to work with the government or to press the government that they still continue with the contract. And I think this is one of the main points, so I will finish. That to guarantee these public policies, it is very important that the solidarity economy initiatives work together with the social movements and also establish coalition with other organizations. So let's just go on. Let's see. Here I will focus very briefly so on the challenges. One is the insertion in the capitalist market, because most of them sell their material and then they sell it to large companies, and then actually they have limited conditions to establish the rules. They have lack of capital to invest in equipments, and they have a big challenge that when they scale up, how they can combine the service delivery at high quality with the democratic principles and with relations of cooperation and solidarity. And so for the public policies, the sustainability of solidarity economy initiatives, they depend on effective public policies and on a network of advocacy. So significant shifts in public policies require collective action. The growing movement of waste pickers have made progress through public policies. But then again, the effective implementation depends upon this mobilization coalitions and has to be sustained at the several levels, so at state and at municipal level. So my last one is that the public policies have to be compromised with a process of social transformation. And that they can provoke, or they should provoke, a significant change in quality in the organizations. And I think the last decade shows that there are possibilities. So I think, especially in the waste sectors, with the social movements, the national movements of the waste collectors, it shows that they are capable to join, it shows that they can work together, and that they can achieve public policies whereas they work together and whereas they work with collective action. So I think it is a promise that they can become an important economic sector. But then, of course, when they scale up, there are all the challenges for their capacity and also how to maintain the solidarity economy values and principles. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.